Welcome to the Presentation Labs podcast, a series of short, irreverent, and whimsical insights into the process of writing a book all about presentations.
Good afternoon from Dublin City FM. This is Ronan Kinahan standing in for Alex on the Persuaders radio show this afternoon. We've got Simon Morton from Eiffel Presentations in the UK. He's going to talk to us a little bit about Eiffel and what makes for an effective presentation, whether that presentation is for the purpose of pitching or educative or motivational, whatever that may be. And for the moment, have we got Simon Morton out there from Desford in the UK?
Good afternoon, Ronan. How are you?
Great, thanks, Simon. Hello from a sunny Dublin. Sunshine in Desford?
It is. Yeah, I've got to say, I'm looking out the window. It's looking gorgeous.
Fantastic. So Eiffel Presentations, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, we're coming up for about 8 years now, our eighth birthday, and we started off, I started the business 8 years ago, really with the avowed intent to sort out one of the biggest problems that are out there in business, which is poor presentations. We've all probably sat through, I know I have, those sort of presentations where you're fighting to keep your eyes open, and if you're not fighting to fighting sleep off, then you're scratching your head wondering what the heck the presenter's talking about. And it's normally as a result of a blizzard of bullet points and a meandering story, and frankly, having sat through so many of those things and with a real passion for communication, I started the business 8 years ago, and we've never been so busy. It's we've grown the business very quickly, and now have offices obviously in the UK, which is where I'm based, but also in Ireland, just over the water in the US, Holland, and Russia as well. So pretty much everywhere in the world that requires presentation sort of care and consideration, we've probably worked, but that's where we have our offices.
Fantastic, yeah. I think you're right. The effectiveness of the hallmark of an effective presentation at the end of the day is it's got to be professional looking, doesn't it, really, and audience friendly, and then more crucially, if it's a pitch presentation, have a high recall capability.
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the interesting sort of challenges, is that a lot of people do say, oh, well, if my presentation is not working, it's probably because that it doesn't look very good. And I'm no great graphic designer, so I'll give it to a graphic designer and they'll make it look really, really smart, and that will have fixed it. But you're absolutely right. The bigger issue actually is around recall. It's around the structure of a story. It's how that story engages an audience. And that's really a true test of a great presentation. Is can people remember what you said 2, 3, 5 days after the actual presentation?
Yeah, I think it's a case where a lot of us fall into the trap. When it comes to a presentation, we try to just shoehorn in too much information, and the audience ends, you know, drowning in information and screaming for knowledge. So I think the purpose of all three elements, the message, the medium, and the messenger, really is to help the audience filter through the noise. But equally, again, to be remembered, as you rightly say, I think to be heard and remembered, you've got to say something different. It's got to be simple, and it's got to be visual. And you're capturing a lot of that thinking in your new book, isn't that right?
That's
shortly.
Right. Yeah. So the grey hairs are as a result of writing the book. And it's interesting that writing the book has been a bit like writing the biggest presentation I've ever had to create, because I've had to figure out which bits of my experience and knowledge are useful to the reader, and so should be in the book, and which bits we can get rid of because they're going to clutter up that story. And so you're absolutely right. The book it will be released towards the end of this year, published by Wiley. Somewhat surprisingly, is that the book's already being translated into Spanish as well as English, and the book is focused very much on providing business presenters of all experiences and of all different sort of sectors the ability to create their own great presentations. So sharing that formula. And there are some great books out there on presentations. And, you know, this is not the first book that's tried to address this problem. But one of the challenges, and one of the reasons that I think the publishers are so excited about it, is that we're going to make it a really practical book. There are a lot of really prosaic, very beautiful-looking, you know, books out there, but in terms of grabbing hold of it and very quickly making a positive impact on business presentations, we think this book has probably got something different to everybody else out there.
Sure. And you've been over to Ireland a couple of times, isn't that right, to launch IFL Ireland and provide a seminar for some of prospects and clients over here, is that correct?
I have, and had a wonderful time.
Excellent, excellent. Just in terms of slides, because it's always a tricky area, whether it's for the marketing people or salespeople or for any particular role or function there. Have you found that the challenge very often with the visuals is that sometimes the client wants to imprint their own type of persona on a visual and forget about the fact that really that the slide is there for the benefit of the audience to help them understand the point better and as you say, recall the point better. Have you found some challenges there? And that it's just so subjective on a slide.
Is. Yeah, and it's a fine balance. You know, we're very fortunate. We work with some really interesting companies, yeah, both multinational and you know, sort of smaller local businesses. And each of them has a brand that they quite rightly are very protective of and very proud of. And the challenge is, and sort of the tightrope that you walk, is ensuring that the brand gets enough airtime for it to feel, you know, sort of aligned with the presentation without it suddenly turning into an egocentric lecture. And you're absolutely right. The presentation is there for the benefit of the audience. The reason the presenter has jumped in the car or jumped on a plane or what have you to stand in front of that audience is to assist that audience in understanding something. It's not to show them this wonderful, fancy-looking presentation. It's, yeah, that's just a means to an end. And more often than not, we spend the first sort of hour or so with our customers when we first engage with them, just realigning their thinking that says, yeah, why are we here? And the reason we're here is to ensure that that audience is fully engaged and knows what to do with the brilliant information you're sharing with them at the conclusion of this presentation or this initial engagement.
Sure. It's very easy for the presenter to fall into the trap, I suppose, of bedazzling rather than enlightening the audience.
Absolutely.
And that's very easily done. In terms of pitch presentations, because I know you've got some very interesting IP around this in terms of presentation, blended presenting and optimization. I mean, the message really is crucial, isn't it? And very often with pitch presentations, the message gets lost in all these fancy slides and a lackluster performance from the presenter. Presentation optimization. Just tell us a little bit about that. Isn't that really more focused on the messaging side of things and getting that absolutely right?
It very much is. And it was presentation optimization as a methodology has sort of been born over about an eight-year period. The gestation period of this methodology has been quite long because it's really a methodology that's been built upon our experience of working with huge companies and some very small companies on a whole array of different projects. And it's a cliched phrase, but sort of simplicity is not stupidity. And one of the things that we spend a lot of time doing when we first engage with our customers is saying, what's the message? Why are we doing this? I was with a customer this morning, and the whole meeting was about just trying to define what they were looking to share with their audience and why that would be of any value to that audience. So you're absolutely right. That's the first stage, is getting the message really, really strong. And then I think probably the key difference at this stage is once you have that message, you then can start identifying what content is valuable to the audience. Yeah, what content is going to act as a building block to that audience to help them understand and engage with that message. And chances are, most of the content that you were trying to squeeze into those slides in minute font in numerous bullet points, most of that can go. That can lie on the cutting room floor because it's noise that gets in the way of the audience actually engaging with that message. And it's really only once you have the message and the content in place do you even consider looking at, you know, double-clicking on the PowerPoint or Keynote icon and start developing visual slides. Because until you have the message and content in place, you really are building on sand.
Sure. And for a pitch presentation, it's all about being compelling and equally concise. And sometimes the temptation is if an opportunity is there, that for an hour, that they will talk for an hour, when all the research tells us that the attention span of a lot of people is about 20 minutes. Do you apply that type of thinking to the development of a deck, that it should cover that type of duration and allow plenty of time for discussion and debate and developing the business opportunity further?
Very much so. It's one of the things that we're particularly passionate about is moving where you can, and when it's appropriate, and it's not always appropriate, but when you can, moving sales engagements away from that formal I speak and you listen and you ask questions at the end type format into something that's more akin to a conversation. And it's still a very structured conversation, and it's still, you know, there's still structure, and there's still that element of formality, but it suddenly turns into a much more interactive engagement with your prospect audience. You need the ability to pull upon your message very quickly and easily. You need the sales skills to be able to facilitate that type of conversation and engagement. And equally, you need the sales tools and presentation tools that give you that level of flexibility. So if somebody within the audience, it might only be an audience of 4 or 5 people, asks you a question, rather than scrambling around going, I'm sure I've got a slide on this somewhere, and sort of flicking through umpteen slides, you should, if the presentation is well designed, in a couple of clicks be able to access the key slide that helps you tell that part of your story. And I think that's one of my biggest bugbears at the moment, is that the presentation industry generally has stuck very much to that formal type of thinking, where actually the really good sales engagement and pitch engagements that people have are where they very quickly turn into a conversation.
Sure, yeah. At the end of the day, you want to kill the competition and not the audience.
Exactly right, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm just about to hand over to our next speaker. But before I do, Simon, some quick tips. I mean, what would you suggest to people who've got some pitch presentations on next week? What would you say to them in terms of increasing their strike rate?
I think there are a couple of sort of probably 3 things you can do. If you've got time, turn off the PC, turn off your PowerPoint, and just write down, and it could be a mind map, it could be a list, however your mind works, just write down the 3 key things you want your audience to take away with them at the end of that of the presentation that you have. So what things do you want them to do? What things do you want them to remember? Once you've written those things down, then open up your PowerPoint and see if that PowerPoint is helping you do that. And that can be done very, very quickly, but it's sort of stepping away from the technology and thinking it almost in an analog way. That's a great thing to do. If time's really against you and you're worried that if you start doing that, then you'll end up sort of going into a downward spin, then the best thing to do would be to print off all of your slides, lay them on the floor, and just see if there's a story and a structure there, if there's a flow from the first slide to the last slide. And the reason I say print them off is it's very difficult to do that on the screen. But if you print them out and sort of view them, you know, sort of from afar, you'll see if there is or isn't a flow there. That's really important. And the final thing would be to hand, you know, if you've only got limited time, hand your presentation deck to a colleague or a friend or a partner and say, help me remove some of these words, because the words on the slide are going to be the thing that catches you out, because your poor audience are stuck between this awful decision of, do they listen to you or do they read the slides? And if there are so many words on the slides that they end up trying to read the slides, they won't be listening to you, and frankly they probably won't be reading properly the stuff that's on the slide either. And so they walk away very, very confused. So if you really are tight on time, just find a friend that will just very quickly and impartially go through those slides and hack away at some of the text in them.
Sure. And if the jury's still out, there's the health check mechanism that you have at Eiffel, whereby a client can send a deck and they'll get an independent objective viewpoint on how it seems to be stacking up.
That's exactly right. Yep. Can I give the website address?
Certainly.
Would that be okay? It's www.eiffelpresentations, that's EYEFUL presentations.ie. And if you click on the health check icon there, that basically explains that we've got a bunch of presentation geeks sitting here that will impartially go through your presentation, give you big ticks where things are going well, but also perhaps with a red marker, highlight the areas that you could work upon and offer some ideas as to what you can do with that as well. That's free, and that's there really as part of our mission to rid business boardrooms and meeting rooms of poor presentations.
Fantastic, fantastic. As helpful as ever, Simon. Thank you for joining us, and have a sunny weekend.
I certainly will. You take care. Thanks again, Ronan.
Cheerio. Bye-bye.
For more information, audio and words, chronicling the voyage from good idea to publishing sensation, go to www.ifulpresentations.co.uk and click on the banner.